Hello and welcome to DVB Box Bob, a podcast featuring voices from Generation Z.
We are your hosts, Ning Su
and Duya.
Tune in every week to hear young people share their personal stories
and how they hope to achieve a future democratic Myanmar
free from military dictatorship. To listen, follow DVB English in your podcast app.
DVB Box Bob is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Alex. So,
thank you for having me. Yes.
So, can you tell me like about yourself?
My name is Alex, and I'm currently like living here in Thailand, as I cannot go back to Myanmar anymore for the political reasons. Yes.
Yeah. So, like. Should we start from the start, like from your childhood?
Yeah, sure. Yes. My childhood. I'll start with like from the very beginning. Like my dad left me when I was 1 year old, and then my mom left me in the kindergarten, and I grew up with very abusive families, which, like. Got like beat up almost every day, and like for some stupid reasons, and got hanged in front of our house on the trees and stuff. So yeah, I always like having this like really hard childhood, and I try to run away from my family several times, like from like when I was around 9 and 10, like every like a few months I try to like run away from the family, but like I always like somehow ended up being back in the family. Yeah.
So is there like the worst childhood memories, do you have it like you already through so much?
It was already the worst childhood, but also like what I was on the run, I ended up being in a monastery, and I didn't want to go back home, so I just asked the monk there like if I can be a monk, and then they contact to my family, and yeah, my family just let me stay at the monastery. But then again, like at the monastery, like there are also like other like young monks like that try to rape me, so I got like really like bad physical injuries that time, and but I didn't know how to explain that to my family, so I was also pretty young, so they just thought that I had some problem with my stomach or something, and they didn't really like do any checkup or didn't really like care about that. Then yes, I ended up being in that family again after being a monk for a few months. And then they sent me to my aunt who was living in Shan State, and I was kind of happy with the aunt in the beginning until like one time like we were eating, and I'm not sure I had allergy or something, like when I eat like this pork fat I puke and I feel very uncomfortable. One day I just like leave it on the plate and not eating it, and then like my aunt was like, oh, who are you to like being picky on food? And then like she beat me up, like she tried to like put it in my mouth and stuff. So then I ran away from my aunt, and I got back at my grandma's house. It just like keep going on like between like my aunt's place and my grandma's place for a while. And that when I was around 14, my uncle asked me to go buy his whiskey or something, and that's why I decided to run away from the home with the money that he gave me to buy the whiskey. So I just took the bus from my hometown to downtown Yangon, and also of course like that was very far away from my family, so they couldn't find me, and also I didn't know how to go back there, so I just ended up being on the street. And yeah, that's how my childhood started and ended up.
So how do you like manage to live on your own after you leave your family?
I couldn't manage to live on my own. I've been like starving a lot on the street, and also like even in the street I always had to like run away from the like people, like kind of like how do I say, like this transgender woman. Like I was sleeping on the park in downtown Yangon, and that one morning like they just come and like, you know, grab my private parts and like saying like, oh, they're gonna give me their like snack manis and stuff, and then I had to run away from them again. And somehow I ended up at a church in downtown. It's also because like I smell like food, and like I was also hungry, so I just went up to the church, and then they were like singing choirs and stuff, so I just like joined them, sit with them, and after that they just tell everyone that, oh, we prepared this food downstairs for everyone who came here. So I was so happy, so I had like lots of food there, and I went back, and I always like go around the church, and like because like I was hoping I could get food there. So one day like one of the guys from the church just asked me where I'm from and stuff, so I explained him about how I ended up being on the street. So he connected me to this civil society organization, which gave me food to eat, place to sleep, and teach me how to walk and stuff. So yeah, that's the beginning of my life, because I learned a lot from the organization, and you know, learned how to speak English, gain some networks, and learn how to use computer and stuff. So yeah, that was the beginning.
Yeah, so after all that, what was your first job that you work for?
I was working with the organization for quite a while, and then I got a job at a KFC. So I was working as a receptionist, cashier at a KFC. Of course, like they like provide me a place to sleep in that office, even though I was working for the KFC. And then after KFC, I moved on to another job, like travel agency and stuff. And I just like keep moving on. And one day I ended this Western guy like who was opening a resort in Abali Beach. So he gave me a position that I cannot even dream. So basically like he just paid me up, you know, from where I am, and like he gave me a really nice position at his resort, and like gave me good salary. So from then on, like I was working there for almost a year and saving up money, and then I moved back to Yangon, and then like working as a restaurant manager, and also at the same time I was working as a communication officer at the French Institute. Yeah. And then after I finished my contract with French Institute, I moved to Shenzhen, working at the hostel and getting to know more about the world, because I was meeting lots of like people from like different parts of the world. So that's how I got my connections and learned how the world worked. From then on, I moved to Bergen, tried to open a cafe with my friends. We just like opened for a few months, and then COVID started happen. So I moved back to Yangon, and then one of my friends was starting a food truck as well. So I was working as a food truck manager for his food truck, but it didn't also succeed because like COVID and like almost all the business are going down. So I became jobless. And then I was living at my best friend's place, and I saw this like poster on Facebook about like gay spa like hiring for young guys and stuff. So I asked my friends for advice, oh, should I do it or not? And then she was like, oh, as long as you're not like stealing anyone's money, you know, like you can do it, it's a honest job. So I started working there as a masseuse, and also kind of like a prostitute. Like I give people massage, and they're like, they have sex with me for money. So yep, that is kind of the end of my career in Myanmar, because while I was working at the gay spa, the coup happened, and that's how I started like being on the streets and quit the job. Yeah.
So like after the coup, you did protest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why did you protest?
It was since the first day they cut off all the internet and electricity and stuff. So, you know, before that, I never really care about the politicals because, like, no matter, like, I used to believe that, like, you know, it doesn't matter, like, who I vote for because no one will, like, come and, like, give me food. I have to, like, survive for myself. So I didn't really care about that. But then, like, when they start cutting off internet, like, it was, like, kind of taking my right, right? So I was like, if they can do this, like, you know, who knows what else they can do? So I cannot just stand that. So I've been, like, talking with, like, other guys who were working at the gay spa, and they were like, okay, we're gonna go on the protest this day. So yeah, I was like, okay, I'll also drive with you guys. I drive with them from the, like, very first day of, like, where everyone went out on the street and protested, yeah. And from that on, like, I started, like, feeling like, oh, it's really, like, important to know, like, who your government is, like, who is leading your countries and stuff. So, yeah, that's how I started involved in this kind of revolution stuff.
Yeah, so that was the time that you started feel the political situations of Burma, and
yeah.
And now you feel like very, very, very angry, right?
Yeah, because I remember, like, when I was a kid, I remember, like, having to afraid of the government before 2015. You know, like, we cannot, like, do whatever we want, or we always have to, like, report the government what we do, like, where we stay and stuff. And starting from 2015, like, it's just getting better and better.
Yeah.
All these, like, you know, like, LGBT festivals and, like, gay rights, and people are starting to, like, open up. So I experienced both sides. So I don't want to go back to the time when, you know, like, everyone have to be afraid of the government. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So you told me that you joined the People's Defense Force. So when did you decide to join the PDF and then train in the camp?
It was in the April. I've been, like, protesting, like, almost every day, and I been in there, like, very close to getting arrested or, like, getting killed by the military governments. So that's why I decided, like, if I keep staying in Yangon and keep protesting, like, I won't be able to, like, change anything, or I won't be able to do anything. I might just, like, end up getting killed somehow. So, you know, instead of, like, getting killed in Yangon, like, I will at least, like, wanna, like, fight back and do something to get our freedom back. So that's how I connected to the organization that gave me the CSO organization that gave me space. I contacted them if they know, like, anyone in the KNU or in the ethnic armies, and then they connect me with the KNU person. So yeah, that's how I left Yangon and joined the People's Defense Force.
Yeah.
In current state.
So how was your journey to go to the KNU? Can you explain to me how you pretend to go to there? Because I know that it's very difficult to go as we are young,
yeah.
young, you know, there are a lot of checkpoints on the way. And so how do you manage to reach to the KNU?
Yes. At first, I was planning to go with the bus from how do you call it? Like, express, with the big bus. So, but then, like, I thought I might end up, like, dead in the jungle. So before I'm about to do that, I wanna at least, like, know how my father looked like. So before I go to the jungle, I took a bus to my hometown and, like, try to, like, go visit to my father's side families to ask, like, if they have at least, like, picture of him, or if they got, like, any contact, because I don't know where my father is, or, like, if he's still alive or if he's dead. So at least I wanted to know that, how he looked. So I visited to my father's family, and luckily, like, they got a photo of my father's getting married again, so at least I got to know like how he looked like. I stayed there a few days. So on the way from downtown to my hometown, I was on the bus. I heard like the bus driver and like some people were talking about planning to go to Golden Rock during the Dingjian Festival. So I was like, oh, maybe if I go with them and pretend like I'm just going to Golden Rock, maybe it might be safe way for me. So I asked them if I can join them, and I got their contact. And so I pretend like one of them, and because like they were planning to go the whole street together to the Golden Rock. So I was on the bus with them and just pretend like one of them. And on the way, like, there were lots of checkpoints and like they were checking. So I just like pretend like not knowing anything. I just like keep eating the mangoes when they come up on the car. Yeah, they were kind of rude. Like there was like one soldier like came up on the bus and like put his shoes on the handle of an older woman's seat. And like, I think like he just like pretended to tie his shoe, but I think he just planned to ask for money or something to let everyone go. So, but no one did. Like people just say, oh, we got all these paper from the ward office that we are going to Golden Rock and stuff. So that's how I got away with all the checkpoints and got into Golden Rock. And from Golden Rock, I took a bus to Pa'an, and then I met this like one of the KNU guys in Pa'an, and that's how I got to KNU. Yeah.
Wow, you're really lucky, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you being a gay in the KNU training camp, how was it? How was like how's your situation in the training camp?
I think every camp is different because like there are like many people from like different city and like different villages, so people are different. But I was lucky, my camp like they didn't have any discrimination against gay people, but also like I was kind of feeling insecure because of my past experiences. So I just not telling anyone that I'm gay, and I just pretend like I'm just a straight person, try to like blend in with them. It was nice, like everyone was friendly. And of course like sometimes like they are like sometimes like, you know, people talking about like, oh, gay people and stuff, like, you know, how gross they are and stuff. I just have to like pretend with them. And also like whenever like they talk a lot about girls, and I always like try to blend in and talk about girls too. And after a few months, I just got so used to it. Whenever like they talk about girls, oh, which girl? Like, I just got excited out of nowhere. Yeah. But yeah, apart from that, like, it was pretty nice experience. Like, I got to know this many people from like different backgrounds, and like got to know their stories, because I'm always interested in other people's stories. So I try to like talk with like many of them and like know their stories. Yeah. And they were cool. Like, before I left the camp, one of my friends from Yangon, he is a pretty open gay. The military raided his apartment, so he had to like run away. So he asked me for help, and I just told him, you can come join here. And he came to the jungle, and everyone was friendly with him. Yes, so yeah. But of course, like different camps and like different stories. Yeah.
So during the camp, how was your security? Do you feel like do you feel unsafe because of the airstrike or anything? Is there like how was it in the training camp day?
Yeah, we always have to be cautious with that, because sometimes like we see these like spy drones flying over us, so like we always have to like be alert all the time. So I had to like sleep with like we take tan like garden taking like night garden. So I had to like, you know, like had to like get and like sleep and like always like try to be like awake at the same time. So it was kind of tiring. But the area that I was in was pretty safe, so I was lucky enough. So some people were like really happy. I wasn't either, like, because we drive to the camp just because we want to fight back and we didn't be in actions. But our area was super safe that we didn't got to do anything. So yeah, so I was planning to like move to, between there, I was in the camp and there was like this KNU families, like they were pretty nice and like I got very familiar with them. So one day like one of the current school in the border was opening again, so they were like planning to send their children to the school. So I was like, oh, maybe I should take the chance to, you know, study again. So she just like gave me a new current name and like new identity, and like she took me to that school and like tell everyone that I'm her son. So, and I'm 18 years old. So yeah, I became a student in that current school on like 11th grade. So it was kind of pretty fun experience, but also of course like we all have to be cautious because it's in the border area, and like sometimes like, we see this like military jet flying around. So we all have to be careful with that. And that's also how I learned about the life of these ethnic groups and like these remote villages, like how they survive and like how they live and stuff. So that's how I'm more interested in this current community, like try to like develop this community. So I always like ask around like people like what they want to do after they finish their school, and most of them are just like, oh, we just gonna like go back to our village and like do farmings and like, you know, like help our parents, which is a nice thing but also kind of sad on the other hand, because like they cannot dream anything, like they cannot dream of like going to city or like get a like, you know, better job or anything. It's because no one in the big city know that they exist, or no one didn't really like care about them. So their only options are like go back to their village, do farmings, or like move across the border and like work in the farms in Thailand. So that was pretty sad. So that's how I decided like, oh, one day like I wanna like open a like better school and bring back the like better education system to those areas. Because I also like didn't finish high school, so I wanna like give other people chances. So yeah, that's how I decided. And I've been in the school for a few months, and after that I went back to the camp because like I heard news that like, oh, they might be like wars, might break out, so I wanted to participate in it. So I left the school and I went back into the camp. But things happen, but like in different location, in legal area, like airstrikes happenings and stuff. So I wanted to go there, but also like it was getting dangerous. So I feel like if I just keep staying here, I cannot do anything like but just running away, because every time something happened, like our camp just pack all the stuff and move to different mountains and like different locations. So I feel like I'm so useless. So then like I heard like some of my friends from Yangon also like moved to like Thailand side because they were unsafe in there, and they were like doing lots of work such as like fundraising and like sending food supplies, medical supplies to their camps. So I thought like if I drive them, like maybe I might be able to do something more health useful. So that's how I decided to cross the border and end up in Thailand.
So now what are you like doing in Thailand? What's your plan here?
At the beginning when I first crossed the border, I was with those friends. So I've been trying to, and also I'm still like keeping in touch with the camp. So one of the CDN daughter was trying to open up a hospital in the camp. So what I do is I just ask around my friends who are doing like other fundraisings. So whenever like they need something, I just told them, oh, the camp that I used to stay is needing this kind of stuff. Can you help us get it? And then they got it and they sent it to me. And from Mesao, I sent it to the camp. So I've been like just doing that for a while, and then I moved to Bangkok and been helping like other journalists with translating, like working as a fixer for them, like translating and transcribing and doing like some interview with the people I know in the jungle and stuff. And then living in Bangkok was kind of expensive, so I moved here, and then like this like group of friends, like they were giving me a place to stay, and I kind of got like depressed, and like got anxious, and like all the like traumas from the past like coming all at once. So I've been like basically like just staying in all day because I'm afraid to see the people outside, or whenever like people are outside the door, like I try not to go out and just hiding in the room for all day and came out at night and eat at night. So now like I met very supportive boyfriends and kind of getting mentally like getting better, and now like, I'm trying to like build up my life again and try to do anything that I can to help Myanmar again.
So I saw some of your paintings on Instagram. So can you tell me like how your mental health and also those kind of painting are related to your PDF story, right?
Yes.
So yeah.
Yes. One of the paintings that I show you, it was based on my expressions of why I was in the jungle, even though we were like wearing those like uniforms and guns and stuff. Were kind of ready to like fight back the military, ready to like kill the people from military side. But then I asked myself, am I really ready to kill someone else, even though like they're really, really bad? So then I wasn't, like, I don't think I will ever be able to kill someone because I cannot even watch a chicken die. So yeah, so that's how I wanted to express that feeling, because I'm not the only one. It's the same with like almost everyone in the jungles who are, they might say that, oh yeah, we will like kill like whoever it is from military side. But in fact, like we are not used to it, or like we are not the killers type of people. We're just, most of them are just students or like people who are trying to work on their life and try to achieve their goals and never thought about like killing someone. So yeah, the drawing, I wanted to like just express those feelings that are like stuck inside us. And so yeah, just that.
Yeah.
And also like, yeah, even though like we were holding guns and stuff, all of us, what all of us want is like peace and flowers and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, I really like the drawing. How do you think of Burma's political situation or the future of Burma will be?
To be honest, I don't wanna like even say it out loud, but sometimes I feel like I'm scared that we might end up like being back in 90s or like, you know, 20s, like where like people just got used to this military system and like got brainwashed and just like normalized their life under the dictatorship. So yeah, I'm kind of scared that gonna happen. But at the other hand, like everyone who are trying to, or like working on these revolutions, are trying so hard to win this. So I'm also have faith in them, and I also hope that whatever that we are doing or like doing to get this freedom back, I hope we will succeed and we'll get our freedoms back. And those 5 years, you know, we got, or even better than those 5 years, where everyone is free and got to like express whatever that they are feeling without having to worry about getting killed or getting arrested or, you know, like taking their right away. Yeah, that's what I hope for, and that's what I believe gonna happen. But yeah, at the other hand, I'm also kind of scared that we might end up being back in the old times.
Yeah. One last question. Do you have anyone you want to speak out for them?
Yeah, I wanna like speak out for the people that are like try to fight in the jungle, people who don't really got chance that I'm getting right now to like sit down here and like talk about my feelings or like my experiences. They are also like, most of them are like pretty young. Like I met this like one of the twin brothers, like they're only 17 years old. They're only 17 years old and they left the city and they joined the PDF in the jungle and they were trying to fight for this freedom and they were only 17 years old. So yeah, and there are like so many people like them and they have like, one of them had like dream of becoming a like professional soccer or one of them like wanna like study more and stuff. But yeah, they left all of that behind and like being stuck in a jungle. Like now it's been like already 2 years. So there are like many people like who don't give up and like who are still fighting, try to fight in the jungle, who are still like struggling in the jungle. Even though like they're struggling, like they don't really complain about it and they try to like keep fighting and making the best out of what they get. So yeah, I just want to say that, you know, like just think about them, you know, like instead of like try to like normalize this group, like just try to like think about those people who are still trying to fight and do the best you can, maybe.
Yeah. Thank you for joining me today and encouraging.
Thank you for inviting me and hearing my story. Yes.